Hey there, and welcome back to another episode of Foot Traffic. I am so excited to dive in today to a brand new interview by Mikhail. Okay, but get ready for it. This is a very Russian name said in my Wisconsin accent, Mikhail Kuznetsova. That's totally wrong, but he said, don't worry. We'll just link to him and it'll be totally fine. He gave me permission to completely butcher his last name. Mikhail was amazing, you guys. I cannot wait for you to get to hear how he's helping influencers actually monetize. You hear me say a million times, like followers, you know, having 10,000 followers, 100,000, a million, it doesn't necessarily mean money in the bank. I cannot tell you how many of my friends come to me with a 10X amount of followers, and they're asking me how to build funnels, how to monetize. And you're just shocked because you're thinking, you have 500,000 followers. What do you mean you're not making money, right? So today, Mikhail and I go through how he's like this fixer in the industry. He's worked with big names like Tai Lopez. He's worked with other companies that were grossing $1 million a month. These are some pretty substantial companies that I want you to see how he's helped them pivot and pivot quickly and really start to see that return. So I'm excited to introduce you to somebody that you may not have seen before. He is new to our community, but definitely somebody who I'm a big fan of, and I can't wait for you to dive into this episode. Growing your business doesn't have to be difficult. It's all about mastering a few key techniques, systems, and mindset. Welcome to Foot Traffic. With over 1 million downloads, it's the go-to marketing podcast dedicated to helping you grow your small business. I'm your host, Stacey Tuschel. I've been an entrepreneur for over 15 years, and I own multiple seven-figure businesses. Together, you and I are going to get you more customers in the door, more profit in your pocket, and more happiness in your home. Let's transform your business starting right now. Mikhail, welcome to the Foot Traffic Podcast. I am so excited to have you here today.
Stacey, thank you so much for having me.
Yeah. So why don't we do this? Before we jump into all the good stuff, I would love to hear a little bit of your background, your entrepreneurial journey. I love to hear that backstory. And that usually gets me a little bit curious and pull out a few more questions and follow up. So let's jump in.
Yeah, totally. So for those who don't know, my name is Mikhail, and worked with Tai Lopez for 3.5 years. I guess that's kind of like the claim to fame, if you will. And this isn't like intern capacity worked. This is, you know, had Thanksgiving dinner with Tai level work. Helped him architect his backend CRM. And the way I got there is pretty fascinating. I'm an immigrant from Russia. So my mom at 8 years old surprised me. She's like, surprise, you're moving and you'll never see your friends again. I'm like, totally no trauma there at all. So that was a blast. Went on to become a full stack dev, musician, and then I linked up with Tai and realized I can combine the really high-level technical skills of being a full-stack developer with marketing skills. So we're talking architecting backend CRM systems, stuff like that, and found that to be kind of a superpower as far as marketing. Did that, then worked with a company called JumpCut. So that's another company at over $1 million a month. They were about 1.2 per month when I exited them, and then went on to do Real Social Dynamics, which was also another company at about 1.2, like 127, I think was our top month with them. And now I run a marketing agency. And what I do primarily is I help influencers monetize their audience. So we will find an influencer with 1 million, 2 million, 10 million plus on, say, YouTube, for example, in a niche. We'll build a digital product catalog for them. We'll spin that up. And we've been doing really, really well with that. So that's the short little.
Yeah, I love it. Well, and it's important to share that credibility and plug those names, because somebody might see your name and like, I don't know who this is, and move on. And then you say Tai Lopez and somebody perks up and they're like, wait, what? What did you do? How did you do this? So I think it is important to let people know that backstory and where you've come from and what you've been doing. So let me ask you, since that was one of the first things that you brought up, what were you doing before to land a position with Tai Lopez? Like, where did your credibility come from for them to say, let's give this kid a shot?
You know, so this is kind of fascinating, right? Because when you're behind the scenes and you're not the face, it's a little bit like, you go to these conferences. I'm sure you go to these conferences and they're like, what do you do again? Or you're like, yeah, kind of, you know, you're like the guy who provides the cement for all the construction. You know, it's not like the sexy thing, but yet you're like responsible for all this infrastructure. So with Tai, honestly, at that point, it was just work ethic. So what was going on at that point in time is I was working relentlessly in music studios here in Los Angeles. And you know, I met my buddy Ben. He was playing bass with this band that I was producing. He's like, oh, you should meet my buddy Ty, or my brother Ty, actually. And I'm like, sure, that sounds great. We go up, and he's got his house in the hills here, the one where he did that commercial. I'm like, oh, this is really nice. This is like the life. I'm like, what is he doing again? And he's like, well, you know, maybe you can interview. And I came in, it was pretty simple. I'm like, look, man, I will work as hard as I need to, and just show me how you did this. And I just want to replicate this. I'm just going to be very transparent. I want to replicate this for myself. And he was like, oh, I've been waiting to hear that for a while. And then tapped in. And then, you know, Seth Godin's got a book, Lynchpin, right? Mm-hmm. Quite a good one. So that's been my strategy from the get-go, whether that's, you know, being a consultant, or being an executive in an organization, or being a founder, is become the linchpin to your organization, or to any organization that you're in. Or if you are providing marketing services, for example, as I'm sure quite a few of the listeners are, become a linchpin for your clients, in that you want the phrase to be, wow, you know, that person is amazing. I don't know what I would do if that person wasn't a part of my business in some capacity. And then just took it from there.
Yeah, I love that. Oh, I'm so glad I asked that question. Okay, cool. So you consider yourself a fixer. Like, what does that mean? Who and what do you fix?
Okay, so that's a great follow-up. Every organization has a knot, okay? So just like if you know, you have a knot in your lower back with your body, your whole body is going to be underperforming as a result of that knot. And often, if you can go and you can, with targeted focus, unleash the energy that's kind of trapped there, you can get exponential growth. You can get 300x, 500x growth. You know, we all focus on 10x, or sorry, 10%, 30% logistical moves, but we don't always think to look at the big picture of saying, okay, where is the knot in my business? I'll give you some three examples of this. Okay, with each of the organizations that I was with previously, with Ty, for example, he was spending a lot of time managing his developers. I said, look, man, you need to be doing content full time. He's like, okay, well, you know, I'm handing you the keys to the Ferrari, so to speak. Yeah. Please don't crash my Ferrari. That was a really serious decision for him to be able to let go of the technical side of the business entirely. So that's what it means to be a fixer, is to be able to go in, pinpoint the patterns of the business, see the potential for the business as well, and to be able to unleash that. So that was there. With Jump Cut, you know, they were a company, they were doing dating advice. And I said, look, you guys are doing dating advice. You have over 2 million subscribers on YouTube. There's a lot more people that want to be YouTubers than there are that want dating advice. Why don't we go ahead? Why don't we pivot the entire business model over to this new demographic? And what you're going to realize is your revenue is going to shoot up. Of course, sure enough, we did that. And again, that wasn't a 10%, 30% move. That was a 300, 500% move as a result. And Real Social Dynamics, same thing. There were some back-end financial systems that were not dialed in the way that they were compensating their particular instructors. We went ahead, we overhauled that, and we saw monumental growth because now the incentive structure is aligned and people were able to predictably get rewarded for the actions that they took. So that's the best way I would describe it, is being able to look at a system and say, where's this broken? What can we do? How can we fix it? And how would this at scale up?
Yeah. So both of those stories are pretty big moves a pretty big ask for both of these companies. What were some of their hesitations, or typically you see when somebody is really becoming the bottleneck in their business? Like, what do you do to get them to say, okay, I see your side. Like, Mikhail, this makes sense. Let's head there.
Jiu-jitsu, you just steamroll it, honestly. because we all have blind spots. You know, we talk about this quite a bit, where as an entrepreneur, you're completely at the mercy of your own psychology. And sure, we do our best to surround ourselves with the best people and get the best advice. Like, this podcast is amazing for that, right? And get mastermind groups and get content and do as much as we can to alleviate this blind spots. But at the end of the day, we still have them. So the best way I can describe this is your vision should be strong enough, and you should have the execution and the implementation behind that for the vision for their business to be stronger than somebody else's competitive, right? It's simply a clash of frames, pitch anything. For those of you that are Oren Klof, for those of you that are familiar. So it's jujitsu. It's saying, look, I've got this vision. I think we can do 5X, but we need everybody on board. And either we're going to get everybody on board, or I'm going to simply move on and do other things with my time. And you guys will not have me as an asset any longer in this particular venture. And being able to have the self-respect to say that, I think, is a big
important. Right. Which shows like you really believe in what you're communicating with them as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Such a good story. So knowing that the dating company, you've asked them to completely switch businesses, right? Business models. Did you convince them? Did they have to let go of the existing business? What happened there? And are they having to completely repivot and go down this new path?
Yeah, sure. So, you know, to use the jujitsu analogy again, if you have to hold somebody down the entire time, obviously you're going to get drained too, and it's not going to be sustainable. Mm-hmm. So you do have to get everybody on the bus, so to speak. And they, luckily for me, you know, they were a startup. I mean, these kids were 22, 23, 24 in that range, and they were doing 120 a month at the time. So that was awesome. That was pretty cool. You know, there's already a trajectory of success. And so a lot of that is raising the right questions. Mm-hmm. So I always talk about this with marketing. This is a great little tidbit. I always market to a particular point in somebody's day. And that point in the day is when your head hits the pillow. Okay, I don't market to any other point. That's the main point, is when your head hits the pillow, you have 75 different thoughts you can have. I want that thought to be about the thing that I implanted into the mind. And so that's the way that I went about approaching that, having them ask the right questions to themselves of saying, look, are we willing to continue down this trajectory, and or should we evaluate other trajectories at all? I think that's the first question, is should we evaluate a pivot at all? And then from there, what are the most logical and or beneficial, if you will, pivots for this organization? And then for them to actually self-consider all the variables, and that way you're not having to constantly justify. Of course, there was a lot of resistance, absolutely, without question, but you want that to be a team effort and a mutual decision instead of you having to brute force it.
Yeah. So, you know, as we're recording this, we're still in the middle of the pandemic, right? There's so much going on, lots of pivots happening, you know, with COVID. So would you recommend somebody who's thinking of this pivot, are they going all in, kind of burning the boats, maybe leaving something else behind? Or would you tell them, continue doing what you're doing, but start the other revenue stream?
Oof. Okay.
I know, big question. Sorry.
It's a big one. Okay. So here's my thoughts on this. I'm going to go macro first for a brief moment. Okay. So my belief is what's happening now is actually not that surprising. What's happening now is we are simply seeing the economic impact of a business model that has already changed, but people haven't caught up. So all that, you know, quote unquote COVID is just, it's like, if you didn't tend to your garden, the weeds are going to pop up, right? Mm-hmm. So it's revealing the people that didn't tend to their garden and the business models that maybe weren't functional. Now, it's a shame that there's a lot of really great business owners caught up in this, local businesses. That's, I think, a separate discussion. So I think it's important to understand that, is that the actual methodologies and the ways of doing business are new. This is almost akin to the Industrial Revolution in a way. Mm-hmm. You could argue that. And I think it's important to understand that this is a macro movement. For those of you that have businesses that maybe are struggling during this, you're not alone. This is a very large wave that's sweeping globally, and you shouldn't feel isolated because of that. Simply adjust your brain to the new methodologies of doing business, and you will actually be fine. So now to answer the question with specificity, I would pivot as quickly as possible and go all in as quickly as possible. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. A perfect example of this, we've got some business partners over in Nashville. I fly out there pretty consistently, and there's a lot of retail businesses that are just getting destroyed. And it pains my heart to see these people that have, they've spent decades sometimes building a great business. They've worked extremely hard, and now they're not able to conduct business. And I believe you as a human being should have the capacity to provide for your family and to be able to conduct business if you so choose to. So what we're doing there is we're taking retail businesses and we're spinning up digital channels for them. And we're saying, look, default on your rent, do it. Because you can cut that cost right away and you can always pick back up. And those are really difficult conversations. Those are not easy conversations.
Yeah, but that's kind of what 2020 is. It's been the year of difficult conversations, difficult decisions, right? We just have to make these hard decisions. So I appreciate your point of view on that. But yeah, it's definitely a reality for a lot of small business owners, you know, nationwide and obviously really globally, right? So thank you for that. Now, as we're talking about, you know, 2020, wrapping up the year, really thinking about where we want to take our business in 2021, what are some trends that you are seeing right now that we need to be thinking about, we need to be doing with online marketing, just more in this digital space?
Sure thing. Before I unpack that, do you mind if I add one little mindset tidbit to the previous one?
Yes.
So you get to do this. Okay. At the end of the day, entrepreneurship is a huge blessing. And just keep in mind, whatever struggles you're going through in your business, at the end of the day, we're alive, we're here, we're hopefully healthy. And even something that might be labeled by society as a bad experience, say having to shut down your business, say having to file for bankruptcy, as so many people are having to do. I just want you to kind of process the gratitude component of that and to say, look, I get to experience this. I am here. I am alive. Because the alternative is, you know, you're not here anymore as a human. And that's the part that really kind of sucks, if you pardon my English. So I just want to anchor that for people that are going through, quote, tough times. There's no such thing as a negative experience. There are only experiences that you get to have and the lessons that you take away. So I just wanted to really cement that, because it's going to help you move forward and make it more effortless for you to rebuild, and you'll find yourself in a good spot, I think. So as far as trends, you know, the human element, I think, is the big one. I talk about this quite a bit, is that with more and more and more automation, it's becoming more and more important for us to have a true, long-lasting emotional connection. We are, I think, in a big way forgetting what it means to be human, especially digital marketers. You know, the amount of conversations I have about people using certain tactics and techniques that I can't, my heart literally flutters. I'm like, you're going to do that to your audience? I don't know if that's a good idea. As your doctor, I would not recommend that. And they're like, yeah, they'll be, and I'm like, no, don't do that. And what I mean by that is, it's so easy to, you know, pop up a lander, make a claim, underfulfill, and still make lots of money. Yeah. And I think that reward mechanism is very deceptive. The fact that you can make 6, 7, sometimes 8 figures off of something that is in a way kind of a fluke, it triggers your reward system. It triggers the dopamine system of your brain to say, oh, keep doing more of that. And I think that is extremely, extremely dangerous. I think we as humans, like as human beings, not just as marketers, but as human beings, we need to say, look, we are here together on this planet, and we need to look out for each other. Mm-hmm. And digital marketing, the way that I view this, is right now it's a superpower. You know, your audience understands this. We've had it in our toolbox. We spend a lot of time, those of you that are listening, you probably spend a lot of time honing your copywriting skills, your email skills, your page building skills, you name it. And it's kind of like you're the nerdy kid in the back that knows math. And you're always picked on, but then those kids like start the companies and hire everybody else, right? It's a little bit of like a funny thing. So we're seeing a bit of that. So I think it's important to understand that if you right now are listening to this podcast, if you're into digital marketing, you have a superpower, and it is your duty. It is literally your duty as a human being to use that superpower for good, to help businesses that are in need to get back up on their feet, to scale your business. I think it's okay to be a little bit selfish and say, look, I'm going to scale a 7-figure, 8-figure company. That's what I want. I'm going to go for it. And I'm going to do that so I can help others. So I think that's the big trend is getting back to the human element. What is that thing that we can't replicate with AI? What is that thing we can't replicate with machine learning? What is that thing that I can't automate in Infusionsoft or an ActiveCampaign or in any of the platforms that I have? What is left at the end of the day? And there's this pure essence of who you are as a human being. And I think it's really, really, really important. And it's going to become even more important for us to, as marketers, talk to that.
Yeah, absolutely. And here's the thing, whether or not somebody even identifies as a digital marketer, I think 2020 has made us really shift and go, if we don't identify as a digital marketer, we are going to be in big trouble. So I could not agree with you more. I'm a big fan of automation and systems, but there has to be that human element, like you're saying. So can you give a suggestion or like an example of what that human, you know, connection would be, or what you would do for potential customers or current customers?
Sure. So I would use one of our lovely clients as an example. His name is Matt Stefanina. He has 12 million on YouTube. He does dance. Okay. He's a dance instructor. And talk about an industry that got massively disrupted by this, right?
Do you know that I own 2 dance studios?
There you go.
Yeah. Awesome. So besides my online business, I have 2 dance studios in person locally here in Wisconsin. So I'm aware, but yes, keep going. But you know, we have a lot of dance studio listeners, so they'll love this.
This is perfect. And we have an amazing online dance academy that we built exactly like this, right? We said, look, you can't run your amazing classes that you usually run, but I'm really sorry. What can we do on a pure revenue basis and an impact basis? I think it's important to keep those both in mind. Yes, there's revenue. Yes, there's profitability. Extremely important, right? Average order value, lifetime value. Yes, 100%. But there's also the other component of impact. Of did you change somebody's life, yes or no? And I think, those of us that are listening, we want that. I think the money is a byproduct. It's an output of that impact. And too many people focus on just looking down funnel, optimizing down. I think it's very important. We're big fans of that. But I think you have to have that impact in mind. So what we did with Matt is we said, look, man, let's go ahead and spin up a digital academy. You've got these kids, you know, that are driving their parents completely bonkers throughout this thing. Let's turn this bug into a feature, if you will, this global bug,
right,
really into a feature. What he focuses on as far as maintaining, say, that emotional rapport and that relationship with Liz, some of the things I talk about is it is very much vibe based. You know, there's a lot of fear. There's a lot of these interesting thought vibrations, if you will, and that might be a little too esoteric for the audience, but there's, you know, just look at any media source, right?
Yeah.
They're trying to disrupt the positive patterns of thought are being disrupted. You'll be like, everything's good. And then all these triggers are coming at you. They're like, no, yeah, it's not. No, it's not. No, it's not. You're like, no, trust me. Everything's good. So being able to reset that for yourself, for your loved ones, for your family, and mm-hmm. and for your audience,
yeah,
right now for the next 6 to 9 months is critical. Critical, being able to say, listen, everything's fine. And people are like, whoa, what do you mean? It's a nightmare. No, it's not a nightmare. Everything's fine. We have better infrastructure than we've ever had historically. If you look, you know, we have these things called chairs in the sky called airplanes. Like we have, I use this analogy a lot. It's like if you put me, okay, on this planet, I consider myself a pretty smart individual. If you put me on this planet, like with nothing, the amount of time it would take me to get to chair in the sky is so long. Okay, I couldn't do it, right? And so take the time to process that and then deliver that same essence to whether that's your email list, whether that's your Facebook group, whether that's your Instagram following, your YouTube channel, what have you, or this podcast, which is amazing. Deliver that sense of essence and of certainty and of grounding energy, and people will gravitate to that because mm-hmm. everybody else, there's so much mosquitoes out. I call them the mosquitoes, you know, like, and they're out, and you have to kind of force field those out and go, no, everything's good. We're here. And it doesn't mean, just to be clear, it doesn't mean neglect information. It doesn't mean put anybody else at risk. It doesn't mean be arrogant or ignorant.
Yes.
But it does mean evaluate the factors for what they actually are. And those are, number one, we have better infrastructure than we've ever had. We have better systems than we've ever had. We have better economic potential with these systems than has ever existed in history.
Yeah.
The standard of living for the average individual is far, far greater than it's ever been. And on top of that, we have this amazing thing called internet marketing, where we now do have a pipeline to be able to facilitate content and business models remotely, which people completely forget. Like, we're having this conversation and we couldn't do this. Very, very, like history of humanity, very recently, we were not able to do this at all.
Mm-hmm.
And people forget to see the big picture. And I think if you pause for a moment and say, wow, maybe this is a time to pause, to reflect. Maybe it's a time to connect on a more personal level because people are in fear and they need that stable foundation. So that's my biggest recommendation.
Yeah, I love it. I think the best thing we could do right now for our audience, our following, our customers, I keep using the phrase like realistically optimistic, because you can't be so optimistic, like you said, where you come off as ignorant or arrogant, like she doesn't know what she's talking about, right? But when you're realistically optimistic, it almost is calming and people want to stay in that energy field of somebody who is like really saying, no, we've got this. Like, we are going to take this, you know, we're going to take this one step at a time. Come with us, right? And I think that's something we've done really well in our studios, in our local brick and mortar, to get people to say, I'm still signing up, right? We had somebody message us and say, my kid normally does 3 activities and you're the only one we are coming back to in fall because we feel so good about the way that you're handling this. And that makes a difference with what you're saying about putting that energy out there. So I love that you shared that.
It's huge. It's amazing. And what you're seeing, keep in mind, it's not that your previous skills are no longer valid.
Mm-hmm.
The analogy I'd use is you are used to being an electrician and now there's no carpenters. That's the best way I can describe it. You're used to running your business a certain way and it's close. It's very, very close, right? To run proper electricals through a house, you need to understand the way the house works. You already know the house. You know the layout of the house and you know the basics. You just don't know carpentry. So all you need to do is you need to bunker down and learn the new skills that you need to have. You know, it really is, I think, just such a shame that it's not taught. You know, it's not taught that, look, Facebook is the largest data source and Google is the largest data source. So if you want to, you know, reach the most people, those are the channels you should be using.
Mm-hmm.
Why is there this stigma that if you're a Facebook marketer or a Google marketer that you're like somehow bad? No, that's completely inaccurate. So it's just, there's a couple of tools missing from your tool belt and you're standing there in the middle of this house and you're going, I need to put the wall up. I just don't know how to do, I'm an electrician and a plumber. I know electrician, and you know, I know electrical, I know plumbing, I just don't know how to put the wall up. And so for those of you that are listening, I want you to kind of take a deep breath and look at the toolbox of skills you already have and be grateful for those, and understand that you only need to add a couple more of those tools to your tool belt, and then you'll be able to thrive and definitely survive, and if not thrive, in this current in these current conditions, which arguably, again, are taking all the power. And if you know digital marketing, it's a superpower now. Obviously, there's challenges, but with new challenges, what? New opportunities as well. And so I think anyone who just says things are bad, I go, that's, oof. I kind of let it float over. I go, what can we do? What can we actually do? That practical optimism, as you mentioning, I think is extremely important. Yeah.
So I love what you do, because I always tell people, follower count does not equal dollars in your bank account. So you've got to be really, really careful. So I love that you're helping these influencers actually monetize and make this a real business. Now, somebody who's listening who doesn't have 12 million subscribers or, you know, these big numbers, do you have any tips or strategies for them, you know, starting to grow their following, but still being strategic and mindful of monetizing as well?
Absolutely. So number one, content format matters by platform. Okay, you cannot just create a YouTube video for YouTube and then copy paste that onto every other platform and assume it's going to work. Look at what's working on that platform. The way I view this is every platform is kind of like their own little city, you know? And so if you come to LA and you're like, you have a cowboy hat on, you're going to kind of stick out like a, it might be cool. It might be your thing, right? Yeah. But you want to kind of play to the ecosystem, if you will, of that platform. So that's number one, is content format matters. Number two is content targeting matters. And specificity makes a huge difference. You know, who are you speaking to specifically, and speak to them. Some of the biggest mistakes I see people make when it comes to copywriting is to generalize, right? If you are the type of person who is not a very good phrase, hey, if you resonate with this, it should be, because as soon as you create group dynamics, people tend to actually push away group dynamics because it's non-individual. Whereas something that's individual, they tend to gravitate towards that. So always ask yourself, who am I speaking to, and what is the language that I'm using to speak to them?
Yeah.
And also, what are the patterns within that language as far as positive anchors and negative anchors? I see a lot of people with good intention set a lot of negative anchors towards their own brand by not having clear communication. Just simply clarity of communication, I think, is huge. Obviously, consistent releasing, that's a no-brainer. If you're talking organic, getting, you know, all the SEO stuff, right? Great thumbnails, great descriptions, great tagging. Awesome. Easy. And then the third, and this is important, is don't wait to monetize. I see so many people say, I'm going to release a video and I'm afraid to sell. And this, this is something that I think everybody at one point struggles with, is this idea that you don't deserve it, that you don't deserve the $7 or the $20 or the $100 or the $100,000. That you are not deserving. And to, I challenge every person listening, if you are selling and not hitting the numbers that you want, or if you are not selling yet, to pause for a moment during this podcast and ask yourself, how much, like, what do I deserve? How much money do I deserve? And feel it inside your chest congruently, honestly, with yourself. And if your answer is, I don't deserve 10,000, let's say 10,000 a month, you know, was a big benchmark, I think, for a lot of people, because that's kind of that freedom point.
Yep.
So if you go deep down inside yourself and say, I don't deserve $10,000 a month, you need to ask yourself why. Yeah, because what's going to happen is your energy and your actions are going to reflect your identity. And therefore, you are going to self-sabotage your ability to actually get that, because subconsciously you don't identify as the type of person that has 10,000 a month easily, or 50,000 or 70,000 or 100,000 a month effortlessly. So starting with that, and then your actions will domino effect follow that identity set point that you truly set for yourself. But it has to be honest. You can't brute force yourself into it. That's never really going to work. You have to accept that, okay, you know, $25,000 a month is actually not that much money, and you deserve it.
Yeah. And it's now possible.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I think that's one of our biggest objections, is how I'm a big preacher of, like, you got to monetize right away. And people will say, but I'm getting ready. I'm not ready quite yet. I'm still working on this. I'm still getting, and I'm like, no, there, you can do it right away. So I love that you're saying that, because we've got to, I always tell people, I'm disappointed if I watch a YouTube video or I watch somebody go to a conference, I'm amazed, I love their stuff, and then they're like, bye, see you later. Like, what? Yep. Wait, how do you teach me more, right? So don't disappoint the people that loved it, because that's who you're really talking to.
That's huge. And also keep in mind, every time you choose not to pitch, you're actually creating a habit. So this becomes a, again, we are just human, right? At the end of the day, we have these chemicals and they affect our mind state, right? Have you ever had that where you go to the gym, you feel amazing after because of the endorphin rush? Of course, everybody's had that. So what's happening is with business, if you're taking actions and you're not selling, you're actually preventing yourself from having the dopamine spike at the end of that action. So let's say it's a $7 ebook that you created and you take 11 actions and then you sell one, okay? You've now trained yourself that after 11 actions, you could have, and sure, it's enough to get, you know, a coffee. It's not anything stellar, but you are training your brain to release dopamine off of the actions that you're taking. Whereas if you don't have that component, there's actually there's almost no way for you to reward yourself for the hard work that you're doing. Sure, you can say, wow, that was a great video. But at the end of the day, we are hardwired to have dopamine trigger off of certain things. Now you can rewire that. That's a whole separate discussion on how to rewire dopamine against cortisol actually and have dopamine trigger from each of the 11 actions, not from the reward center. That's a fascinating construct, but we can unpack that another time. So yes, absolutely. Seconded. Sell as soon as possible. Pitch. Get that habit and that becomes a routine. And once it becomes a routine, it becomes effortless. And once it becomes effortless, it becomes scalable.
Yes, I love it. What are some platforms you recommend leveraging now in 2020? Do you have favorites?
Talking pure tech. Man, there's so many of these. I mean, what level are we talking?
Let's just say like social media platforms right now, what should we be really utilizing?
Okay. So I mean, the no-brainer is going to be the YouTube, the Instagram, the Facebook, the LinkedIn. Okay. So I think LinkedIn right now is a huge blind spot for a lot of people. Yeah. There is so many the amount of quality leads on LinkedIn, it just brings me so much joy. Yeah. It's amazing. And it's professional and it's targeted and it's high ROAS. It's quite amazing. So if you have a consulting offer or if you have any sort of offer that caters to professionals, mm-hmm. I highly recommend LinkedIn and getting more innovative with your funnels. Yeah, you have to understand everybody's doing the same thing. Everybody's copying each other. You know, there's a reason it's called copywriting, right? Because you copy somebody's writing and you color code it and then you change it. And it's like, cool, okay, that's awesome, good for you. But I always say you want to build a moat around your business. So what you want to do is take a look at the current ecosystem. Let's say you are, let's just use the dance space as an example, yeah. Right? So let's say you're in dance and you have a physical dance academy and a digital dance academy, and that's your passion project. And you want to be able to take a look at the space and go, okay, where are the leads? Where are the eyeballs? I always start with that and say, okay, look, YouTube has a lot of them. Okay. Mm-hmm. So that's a very wide field, right? Very wide field. Okay. YouTube has a lot. Instagram has a lot. Facebook probably has fewer. You know, Facebook's a much more personal platform. Yeah. Okay. What about LinkedIn? LinkedIn maybe has a lot of dance studios that you could partner with if you so wanted to. And so then you start to cater your content specific to that platform and start to ask yourself the right questions of saying, well, what am I trying to do on YouTube? I'm not trying to reach a small number of people on YouTube. I have to reach a wide range of people on YouTube. So your content's going to reflect that. Instagram, same thing. It has to be very visually compelling. You have a fraction of a second to make an impact on that platform. Amazing. What do your ads look like? How are you curating your creatives by those platforms to curate not just the, you know, everybody does the aspect ratio change, right? But nobody does the content flow change. I see this as one of the biggest mistakes that people make is they will take the YouTube video, they will put borders on it and they'll pop it up on Instagram. But what might work better is you take just a hook from that YouTube video. You take that, you make a short piece of content, 30 seconds, 25 seconds, 15 seconds around just that hook only. Yeah. And maybe that works quite a bit better, especially if you're running ad spend to something like that. Yeah. So that's the very macro. Obviously we can go into technical platforms and that's a whole nother, you know, looking at SEO with Majestic, looking at advanced active campaign. I'll give a quick advanced tip on what we're doing a lot of, and that's dynamic buckets inside of active campaign by average order value linked automatically to Facebook audiences. So this one is great. For those of you that are a little bit more advanced, I'll just run through this very briefly. So what we're doing is, let's say we have a product catalog anywhere from $7 all the way up to $2,500. What we will do is, as those leads come in, we will obviously tag them with the product. Everybody does that. Everybody tags it with has bought so-and-so product. Okay. But what a lot of people overlook doing is saying, okay, how does the average order value ascend? What is the lifetime value on that client? So then what I do is we go ahead and we create, I call them layers in the cake. So we will have like our, you know, low level layer, and that would be between $0 and $10. And then we will have another layer that's between, $10 and $50. And we will have these layers in the cake based on lifetime value. And we're asking ourselves, look, this person's paid us between $50 to $100. What is the offer? What is the most logical next offer for us to present to them? Mm-hmm. And so rather than just saying they bought this product, let's build a funnel linearly to the next one. Everybody's familiar with that. Everybody's familiar with retargeting waterfalls, right? As you can go through. Okay. But what if you were to approach it from more of a psychological standpoint of saying this person's already invested $75. You know what? There's going to be an offer at right around 100 to 300 that they should have the capacity to purchase. Let's go ahead. Let's frontline that offer. And then let's waterfall this way. So we're not necessarily differentiating. And then we do that all the way up. So we're not just saying, if you, it's not an A to B, it's kind of a sequence to many. And that's working really, really well. And then what we do is we automatically update the Facebook audience on the back end for that, which completely changes the retargeting stack. So now what you have is when people are in, engaging with the brand, if somebody is has not bought anything yet, they're seeing a certain methodology and a certain psychology of ads of very friendly, come on in, we'd love to have you with us, amazing. As soon as they spend a dollar, those ads go away. Those ads go away, and there's a whole new layer of ads that then we present between, say, 0 to 100, right? And as they go higher and higher up, they're not getting served those same ads, which is great for frequency control, is great for ROAS control, it's great for spend control. I mean, there's a whole bunch of rules we have in the back end that run that. And it creates a very custom curated experience. Just like if you were to get on an airplane, well, assuming you could, well, if you were to get an airplane, you know, if you're sitting in first class, you want to be treated a certain way, vice versa, right? So you want that experience to be curated for you to, in a way that feels personal, even if you know that it's not totally personal, that feels personal. So that's a more advanced strategy.
Okay, that was amazing though. Like you're like, I'm so confused at what he just said. First of all, go rewatch that, re-listen to that. That was so good. And here's the thing, you're right. People get annoyed. If they've already purchased something and then you're pitching them something that talks about the same product, they're like, take me off this list. Like, why am I seeing this? I already own this. So I do think we need curated content for the people that are in certain buying stages of our programs and products and services. So I love that strategy a lot.
Absolutely. And then what you do is you still tag by product, and then you exclude all the email sequences out for those products and the ad creatives and campaigns for those products. So now if somebody happens to have bought a lot of really low ticket products, then you know they don't suddenly get reserved those same products. You exclude them out, and you have this kind of shotgun approach that then pulls out the non-relevant. So rather than saying, let me only market what's relevant, we're saying, no, let's shotgun and let's pull out all things that are not relevant and see where people land. Because again, with the use of perfect example, you're like, hey, I have dance studios. I'm like, wow, okay, that's, you know, that's amazing, right? And that's something that you wouldn't discover if you didn't take that type of approach.
So. Yeah, for sure. And here's the thing, don't let this overwhelm you as you're listening. Just know that you're a work in progress when you're talking about your funnels, right? When you're talking about your social media platforms, you are a work in progress. So take one thing or two big things away from this that you can implement now. Mikhail, this has been so great. Any last thing you want to share before, and I'll have you share too, like where can people find you? But if there's anything else that we haven't covered or you wanted to share before we go, definitely do that now as well.
I just want to reiterate that you get to do this. Honestly, it's so big.
Yeah.
I talk pretty openly in other podcasts, you know, about my personal struggles with, say, depression or overwhelm, or just having so much on your plate that you just don't know which thing to do and you have task fatigue. I'm very open about those types of things. And just for those of you that are listening, just kind of be able to take a deep breath, look up at the sky, understand the universe is always expanding. We're just these little people on this rock, you know, that happens to be flying around a giant fission reaction. It's pretty crazy that we're even here. It's a total anomaly, and that's really cool. And it doesn't matter what you're going through. You're gonna get through it. It's gonna be great. Your life is truly a gift. You know, I don't have a mortgage on my life, and just be super grateful. And the people in your life maybe that contribute positively, whether that's friends, family, loved ones, maybe take a moment today and just reach out to them and just show some gratitude and help them maybe get into a state of gratitude. Also, that's really the main thing that I want to reiterate. I think people really need more happy thoughts, especially right now.
Yeah. More now than ever. Where can people connect with you?
Sure. You can find me on Instagram at MVKBIZ. That's MVKBIZ on IG. And that's really the best one. And
perfect.
Then on Instagram.
Thank you so much. This was so good. I appreciate your time. You guys go check out Mikhail, check out everything he has to offer. And again, thank you for your time being here today.
Stacey, thank you for having me. Blessings and namaste.
Hey, before you go, have you considered joining us in our next 30-day bootcamp? If you are loving the Foot Traffic podcast, then you will love the Beginner Bootcamp, where we help you build your first marketing funnel in just 30 days, and it's only $97. Hurry and register at stacytushel.com/bootcamp to sign up for our next live bootcamp starting on the 1st.